Desperate people will do desperate things. And when people are desperate for God, they will respond in a desperate demeanor. Their actions will change. They won't look or respond like somebody that's not desperate, that is not in need. But somebody that is desperate and that does need and want something from God, they will act quite considerably different than anybody else. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Psalm 73 says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My heart may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever." I got thinking this morning, you may be in a season, and your season may seem more than a season. It may seem like just a way of life. I got thinking about, my mind just went blank. Joseph spent 2 years in prison, and he went through times of seasons in his life. And that season probably felt like it was more than a season. That was 2 years is a long time.
Right. Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. I just got thinking about this morning. I appreciate Sister Shannon for giving me a list, and I'm all about having structure in church and everything. But I want God to infiltrate this program, this service, everything that we have planned for this morning. I don't care what is going on after the service. I appreciate what is going on. I appreciate the effort that is involved. But God, I believe He has things stored up week after week, and it's built up like a dam. And we need a breakthrough. There's some people in this church this morning that just need a breakthrough. They've had it built up. Their demeanor, I believe, if they will show God their demeanor this morning, with a desperation, with a heartfelt, "Lord, I need you. I need a breakthrough in my spirit. I need a breakthrough in my life. I need a breakthrough in my home. I need just a breakthrough right now, today, at this very moment. Lord, infiltrate this program. Infiltrate this service. Infiltrate our worship. Lord, have your will. Have your way. We are desperate for you this morning. In Jesus' name, hallelujah." Let's worship the Lord together.
For your love, Father, this is what we're living for.
You may be seated.
So many things
Jesus.
Hallelujah. If we could just close our eyes and lift our hands for a moment. Let's be sensitive to the Spirit of God that is in this place that desires to do something special to us personally. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, you're welcome to interrupt us at any time during the service. Lord, we give you permission to have your will in your way in this place at any time, Lord.
Do not like to sing by myself at all, but I'm going to attempt it because I know he keeps saying God's supposed to interrupt and I just can't get it off my mind.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise,
sing it with me.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me
with him.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, oh give me Jesus, give me Jesus, oh just give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That really matters at the end, isn't it?
When I come to die, just give me Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord. You said to do everything decently in order, Lord. But we want, Lord, you to have your way in this place today, Lord. Have your place in our heart and our mind, Lord. Nothing else matters, Lord, but you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. You are our priority today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you are here in this place.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Yes.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Those words are something we're going to have to get in our spirits in the last days. You can have whatever you need, take whatever you want, but I have to keep Jesus. I have to have Jesus. And it is so true. That's why you see so many celebrities committing suicide and so many unhappy people, because they're searching for the wrong thing. We were created with a void in our hearts that only our Creator can fill.
Yes, yes.
And so they search for cars, they search for money, they search for everything. They search for love, but not even the love of a spouse, not even the love of a mother can fill the love of God.
Yes.
And that has to resonate in our souls. Whatever you want, my worth is not my things. My worth is not the home I have, the car I drive, but it is you, that I have found you. Take whatever, but give me Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like I can hear Job just singing that song. You can have all this world. Take whatever you want, but give me Jesus. Help us to be more like him. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God, I love you. I need you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Heart and our mind be in the right place, so you can speak to us, so you can infiltrate, so you can demonstrate in your house today, Lord. Seated at this time, we're going to ask the ushers to come, and today is Bread Sunday, and we're going to have the ushers come forward, and before we have the offering, we're going to have them hand out the bread this morning. So if the ushers would come, and if anybody has kept up through the month of January with your bread, would you please stand? If we can give them all a hand for their faithfulness in reading. And if we could all stand at this time, we're going to receive this morning's tithes and offering. And Brother Mike, would you pray for the offering?
Thank you.
serve our everything. We will lift our voices with your praises. Jesus, you are our King. We will give you glory. We will give you glory. We will give you glory.
Presence of the Lord in this place this morning. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. You may smell the smells drifting up from the basement below. Many of you know we are having at the conclusion of service this morning a baked potato luncheon. Any and all that would like to join us downstairs, there is no set fee, no set cost. It is by donation only. And the donations will go to support and help the youth group as they are endeavoring to go and be a part of Illinois Youth Convention happening in March. And so they are beginning raising funds to help offset the cost for the young people to go and be a part of that. So if you would like to join us, we'd love to have your company and your fellowship. And right after service downstairs in the basement below. Other events happening, hopefully those of you that are on the email list, you have received the calendar. We do have some paper calendars at the back on the table letting you know what is happening, what is going on here, not only in this local assembly, but what's happening around the district and our section, a couple events coming up next week. And so we just want to, or rather not next week, but the week after next, and want to make you aware of those things. If you have your Bibles and you be so kind. Matthew chapter number 7, two verses of scripture to read in your hearing. Matthew chapter number 7, in reading verse number 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate. Everybody say straight. Straight is the gate and narrow. Everybody say narrow. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. No doubt many of you, if you've been around church any length of time, you've heard this passage probably preached from multiple times. The help of the Lord may be present a little different perspective. I want to preach to you upon this subject: narrowing the gap. Narrowing the gap. And we pray, Jesus, we love you. Oh, we thank you for the awesome power of your presence that we feel in this place this morning. God, an atmosphere where absolutely anything can happen. Lives touched, God, eternities forever altered, God, by your power and by your spirit. Lord, I ask that you would but anoint me, God, as an oracle, as a vessel of your choosing, speak unto your people, God, that open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, God, to understand the importance of what it means to narrow the gap, Lord, to enter into the straight gate, the narrow way. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you, God. We honor you in our praise, our worship, God, in our substance. We give you glory and honor that you are so due and so worthy of, God. Let us leave here this morning challenged, God, in our heart and in our mind to do whatever we can to narrow the gap. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Narrowing the gap. As I stated a few moments earlier, many times in my life I have heard sermons preached from this passage. Sermons directing us to stay on the straight and narrow. Cautioning someone from walking the way of this world and being on the broad way that leads to destruction. In my mind, and probably in accordance with most of you, I always pictured two types of roads or ways. I always thought of one road that was broad and expansive and filled with many people walking away from God. A highway, if you will, a multiple lane freeway of many people living full and free in their heart and in their mind, thinking that they are okay and that everything is all right. And then the other road I've kind of pictured as a trail in the woods, or maybe a mountain path that maybe was narrow with a precipice on either side. And I've always thought of it in this way, and one being the narrow way, which walks towards God and towards things of righteousness and towards goodness, and the other being the broad way that leads to destruction or walks in accordance with this world. While this imagery still rings true, and I believe that it is the intent of Scripture, the picture I would like to paint in the point of this message this morning will maybe and hopefully offer another dimension. Like looking at the same picture, but from another angle, and thus providing a different perspective. Maybe this will help illustrate what I'm trying to say. I need a volunteer. Brother Max, can you help me? Now, for those of you that are on this side, look at this line or this tape from your perspective. All right, you ready? Stay right where you are. End point being Brother Max, or starting point rather, end point being me. Now, that's one perspective of the same line, right? This same line. Now, keeping the same distance, Brother Max, walk towards that pew over there. Now, there's another perspective that is this angle, at this way, almost like looking down the road that you're walking, but another perspective looking at the road from the side, and how that it's the same road or it's the same distance, but it's a different perspective. And when I begin to read this verse of Scripture and I begin to think about what I felt God was leading me towards, I begin to think about this. I've always thought about it as a road that I was looking down, or a way that I was looking from this point to that, or from this point, from front to back. But then I begin to think, well, maybe there's another dimension to that Scripture. Maybe, because the Bible says that straight is the gate or the opening and the door. And what if Scripture is not only revealing the disparity or the difference in the roads or the ways, the gates, the doors, but what if it is also revealing the disparity in the gap? What if it's also defining the difference between where I am and where the Lord is? What if it's defining the gap? You see, we all have the gap. Either I am walking towards God and I am narrowing the gap, or I am walking away from God and I am widening the gap. And broad is the way that leads to destruction, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way. So this morning, I kind of want to offer a different perspective. I kind of want us to look at that scripture in Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus is talking about this narrow way and this straight gate. And I want us to look at it from another angle. And maybe, just maybe, God is also letting us in on a little understanding about the gap. See, we all have the gap. Unless you have attain perfection, the gap exists in your life. You see, the gap exists in the disparity between what we say we believe and how we actually live. I know it's going to get tight in here for a moment. And we all have the gap. Try as we may, and though intentions are good, we have a gap. A gap between what we say we believe and how we actually live. There is a disparity or a difference between where I am and where I believe I should be. You see, sometimes this gap causes us to feel like a fraud. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just being really candid and transparent, but sometimes this gap caused me to become frustrated. And whether we are transparent enough to say it or not, in our hearts we sometimes feel like a hypocrite. Because there's a gap. There's a gap between what I say I believe and how I actually live. Because maybe you do, but I don't live exactly the way I should live on a day-to-day basis. I mess up and I make mistakes and I fail, and I realize that there is a gap. There's a disparity between what I say, even sometimes what I preach, and I'm just being honest. And I realize that disparity or that difference exists in my life, and that gap frustrates me. That gap sometimes makes me feel like a fraud, like I have no right getting up in front of people and preaching. That gap makes me feel like I am so much less than what I should be. I'm just going to be real. You know how I am. And that gap causes me sometimes to start feeling condemnation, because we know where we are and we also know where we could be. We know the place that we are currently at, but we also know the potential. And there's a gap. There's that opening. There's that disparity. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, wow, there's a difference between what I say I believe and how I actually live. If you think that's not the case, then you have fooled yourself. Think that there's not a disparity in your life. If you think, and I dare say anybody's life placed under the microscope of Scripture, there would be gaps. There would be disparity between what I say I believe and how I actually live. But you need to understand, I'm not making excuses. And I'm not trying to tell you you're okay. What I'm trying to tell you is that there is a difference between condemnation and conviction. You see, condemnation causes us to dwell on the disparity of the gap. Condemnation causes us to dwell at where I am, but where I should be. And conviction, catch this, condemnation causes us to dwell on the disparity of the gap, while conviction compels us to narrow it. Condemnation, I start feeling
like a fraud, and I start feeling like a hypocrite, and I realize where I am as opposed to where I should be, and I start feeling condemnation in my life, and I start thinking, well, I don't even know why I keep trying, because I'm not where I should be, and I'm not doing the things that I should all the time, and so I mess up and I make mistakes, and I'm not making excuses for that. I'm not saying that's all right. I'm just saying it exists in all of our lives, and instead of standing around and staring at it and thinking about it, I'm going to let the power of God convict me, so I'm compelled to narrow it. And if I'm not experiencing conviction on a continual basis, then nothing is compelling me to narrow the gap. If I'm not getting preaching, which causes me to look at myself and say there's still a disparity, there's still a gap that needs to be narrowed. For narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that leads unto life. So I want to do everything I can with the help and power of God and people of like precious faith to narrow that gap. We can focus on it, and we can talk about it, and let me just be very clear in my next statement. Many times we are prone to point out the gap in someone else's life because it's easier than noticing our own. It's easier to see the disparity in someone else's life when I need to be looking in the mirror and thinking, wait a second, there's one in my own. Why would I seek to kind of try to get the splinter out of their eye when there's a beam in my own eye? I need to understand the gap exists in all our lives. You have a gap, and I have a gap. The real question is, what am I doing? Am I narrowing the gap? Or is the gap widened? That disparity or difference between what I am and what I could be, is it shrinking or is it growing larger? See, the gap also exists in the disparity between what we do and what we are capable of. Say that again. The gap exists in the disparity between what we do and what we are capable of. Because we were meant for so much more. There's so much potential. And if we are not actively attempting to narrow the gap, we have settled in a place far from our potential. Catch this. Last week, I talked about striving to enter in. I preached about striving, and I began to understand what part of that striving is. I'm striving to narrow the gap. I'm striving to narrow the disparity and the difference between what I do and what I am capable of, because I realize many times in my life, especially and most certainly with the power and help of God, He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And I realize there is a great disparity between what I do and what I am capable of. There is a great difference between what I am actively involved in and what I am doing in my life and what I could be doing. Difference I could be making. Let me just drop this little nugget in right here. You see, backsliding begins when we stop striving to narrow the gap. Backsliding begins when we stop striving to narrow the gap, when we become complacent and comfortable in the place where we are. And we'd rather not notice the disparity that exists. We'd rather not look at it, and many become frustrated and fed up to the point of giving up, and much of that has to do with not understanding or at least not being willing to continue the process of narrowing the gap. It's just too difficult. There's too many sacrifices. There's too much commitment. I know I need to be there, but it's easier staying here. And I would rather not have to gawk at the Gap all the time. So I'll just stop going to church. And I'll just stop spending time around people of like precious faith. And I'll just act like the Gap doesn't exist. And everything will be fine. The problem with that is, if I stop noticing the Gap, nothing is done to narrow it. And broader becomes the way. And the Gap begins to grow. And the disparity, the difference between, begins to enlarge. And I try to think, well, I'm okay and everything's all right. And somebody tries to speak into my life. And a pastor or a prophet or a teacher or an evangelist gets up and tries to point out the Gap. And we get all offended. I don't want to gawk at the Gap. Stop showing me the disparity, preacher. Stop revealing the difference between where I am and what I do and where I could be and the potential I do have. So we heap to ourselves teachers having itching ears. Don't tell me like it is, preacher, because that reveals the Gap. Don't really show the principles and precepts of the Word of God, because they're a mirror and they make me realize there's a disparity. Give me that feel-good preaching. Give me that kind of preaching that makes me smile and leave like everything's all right, and I'll do nothing to narrow the gap. Be content where I am. Continue in the place where I am, even though I know there's so much more potential. And the reality is, I know, because I'm preaching to myself, I know I'm preaching to a people that every one of us, if we were honest in our own heart, would come to the understanding that where I am and where I could be, there's a difference. The place that I'm currently in and the potential that God has for me, there's a disparity. There's a difference. Look at Ephesians 4:11-13. You see, we need people to help us narrow the gap. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Catch this next verse. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. See, we stop right there. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Yeah, ain't happening. Maybe I'm just candid enough to say it. We read scriptures like that and say, a perfect man? Till we all come in the unity of the faith? Want to be a perfect man? I don't know if you know this, but I know this, preacher. I ain't perfect. There's a gap. There's a disparity, and there's a difference. And I felt the Lord begin to speak to me. See, even I struggle. Even I look at scriptures like that and say, perfect, I am not. Mistakes I do make. Gap exists in my life. There is a disparity. There is a difference between where I am and where I could be. What I do and what I am capable of. There's a disparity. There's a difference. I believe the Lord began to speak to me, and I believe this is what he said. Perfection is not in reference to who or where you are. But perfection is about where and toward whom you are going. I get it now. I'm not perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. But guess what? I'm going to keep striving to narrow the gap. I'm going to press toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to do everything I can, because if I just stay idle and I just become complacent and content with where I am, guess what? The gap begins to broaden. And broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And so I'm not comfortable with that in my life. And though I know here in this body, in my flesh, upon this world, I'm not always going to be right. And I am not going to be perfect. So how can I ever come into the understanding of what perfection is? It's not in reference to who I am or where I am, but rather perfection is in reverence toward whom I am going. If I'm headed towards Jesus, and if I'm actively narrowing the gap in my life, if I'm trying and endeavoring in my walking relationship with Him to narrow that gap, guess what I'm walking towards? I'm walking towards perfection. I'm going towards Him. Jesus, the Bible lets us know, draw nigh unto me. Draw nigh unto the Lord, and He will draw nigh unto you. And you ever noticed how when you walk towards something, not only does the gap become smaller, but whatever you're walking towards becomes bigger? And when I'm walking towards God, not only is the gap narrowing, not only am I walking towards perfection, but guess what? There's a bigger footprint of God in my life. There's a bigger picture of God working and moving in me. So I endeavor every day of my life. Do I always do it? No, I do not. But I'm going to strive to narrow the gap. You see, God uses the ministry. God uses the ministry to help us narrow the gap. God uses people to help us see the disparity. See, once people understand that there's a gap and they're willing to deal with the reality, are willing, honestly, and sincerely say, I want to narrow. Somebody, care what kind of sin they've been involved in, what kind of baggage they bring to the table, but you give me someone who wants to narrow the gap. Give me someone who sees the disparity and the difference between where they are and where God wants them to be, and they'll strive to narrow the gap. I'll work with that individual every day of the week. I'll put great investment into the heart and into that life, because I see in them they're seeking first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. They're wanting to narrow the gap. I'm just going to be candid and honest. It becomes frustrating sometimes when you try to help people see and notice the disparity, and in love you try to reveal unto them you ain't narrowing the gap, you're allowing it become broader. Well, I come to church, get my tithes, and I do all the obligatory stuff I'm supposed to do. Listen, you need to understand that in and of itself is not going to narrow the gap. I'm preaching now. It's filling the space and just coming in and biding your time and checking the box, and going through the motions. That is not narrowing the gap. Yes, we should come to church. Yes, we should do those things. And yes, we should understand they do make a difference in our lives. But if I'm really, really concerned with about narrowing the gap, I realize it's more than just coming to church. Because I really won't narrow the gap if the only time I spend with my Savior is on Wednesdays and Sundays. I really won't narrow the gap. I really won't try to take up some of that difference in the disparity between where I am and where I know I should be. As long as the only time I really think about it, or the only time it really concerns me, or the only time I become convicted about what I'm doing and how I'm living, is when I walk in the door. On the other hand, got a daily devotion and walk with the Lord. And it's not a condemning thing. It's not a make me feel bad about myself thing. It's a make me feel good about Jesus. The fact that he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I realize there's still a disparity every day of my life. And so I come and I kill my flesh. And I say, I'm going to do something today. It's going to narrow the gap between where I am and where I need to be. You see, we are in the perfecting process. The more narrow the gap, the better I am. The more perfect I become. The shorter, the smaller, the less gap that there exists, the more my calling and election is made sure. Why you say that, Pastor? Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. I believe the Bible's just talking about, I understand the imagery. I understand it's talking about a road. I get that. But it's also referencing a gap. So I'm going to do everything in my power to narrow the gap. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. I believe I'm standing before some people this morning. Phil, Pastor, I want to narrow the gap. Thank you for loving me enough to preach about the disparity. Thank you for being honest and sincere and candid enough to talk about the disparity in your own life. Thank you for the understanding that we're all in this together. Most importantly, I want to know and I want to feel narrowing the gap is possible. Taking up the slack, making up some of the difference and disparity between where I am and where God wants me to be. I can. See, I may not be where I should. Could be. But I've come to this conclusion. I certainly don't want to digress. I may not be everything, and I may not be living up to my potential, and I may not be doing all that I should be doing, but guess what? No desire of going back to what I used to be.
Amen, amen,
amen. And what I used to do.
Jesus.
I know I preach like this all the time. If I can look back over my life, find a point in place where the gap was more narrow than it is now, I've got some work to do. Let me also look back over my life at the times when the gap was so broad and expansive. And say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for drawing me closer to you. Thank you. May not be where I should and could be, but I'm a lot better off than where I was. And I thank you for that. But you need to know something, Jesus. I commit, I'm not comfortable here. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not going to be complacent. And I'm not going to settle far from my potential. No, I want to narrow the gap. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that enter thereat. So Lord, help me narrow the gap. Ooh. See, that's why we need church. That's why we need an altar. That's why we need people to pray with us and help us and support us. Why? Because it's helping me narrow the gap. It's helping me make up the difference and the disparity between where I am and where I need to be. So I need the power and presence of God. I need people praying for me. I need a preacher to preach it like it is. All over this house. Respond whatever way you feel comfortable, but I would encourage you, narrow the gap. Don't be ashamed. Don't look at the disparity and think that the task is too overwhelming. Don't look at the difference. Don't gawk at the gap and become condemned in yourself and say, well, it's just no use. There's no way I can make up the difference. Just start narrowing the gap. Draw nigh unto Him and He will draw nigh unto you. Oh, but Pastor, I make 3 steps forward and then I take 2 steps back. Well, just understand you've made 1 step. And you've narrowed the gap. And just keep striving. Just keep going forward. Just keep doing it. Just keep putting your hand in the plow. Don't look back. And narrow the gap. Because I want to be where He wants me to be, and I want to strive and I want to press and I want to narrow the gap. Somebody here this morning that would honestly and sincerely say, I need to narrow the gap. I'm not condemned, but I am convinced. Not a bad thing, that's a good thing. The gap reveals there's work left to do. He's still working on me. The disparity and the difference, it details those areas of my life that need work. And Lord, You're long-suffering, You're faithful, You never forsake, You never leave us. As I narrow the gap in my walk and relationship with You, You become bigger to me.
'Cause nothing else could take Your place.
And if I can continually narrow that gap, before long, You will overshadow everything else.
To feel the warmth of Your embrace. Help me find the way.
Help me stay away from those things that are broadening the gap. I don't want the gap to get any larger.
You're all I want.
I gotta be careful. I don't want it to become broad.
You're
I don't want it to enlarge. I don't want the distance between me and You to get any greater. I want it to become less. Stands calling, come on, come on.
Draw me close.
You can do it. I'm here to help you. Just keep your eyes on the prize. Set your affection upon things above. Look at me, look at me, look at
me.
Turn your eyes upon me. Look full in my wonderful face. I'm here to help. I want to help you make up the difference. I want to help you narrow the gap. Come on. Hear more of what I have to say. Come a little close.
No one else will.
You'll see more of me in your life. Come on. Narrow the gap.
'Cause nothing else could take your.
I stand before precious people, and I simply, in the course of this message, I simply beckon unto you, narrow the gap. Don't let it enlarge, don't let it broaden. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in. Someone here this morning, because about 11 o'clock last night, God stopped me in what I was doing, and I had something else prepared, and I was going another direction, and God said, no, 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 here's where I want you to go.
Draw me close to you.
I'm not trying to paint myself as something super spiritual. I'm just simply trying to say, maybe it's God speaking through his vessel, saying, I'm just offering you another opportunity to narrow the gap. I desire you. I want to narrow the gap between me and thee.
No one else will do.
I want to see more of you. I want to know more of you.
Because nothing else could.
I want to know you in the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. I want to narrow the gap.
To feel the warmth of your embrace.
Of the gap is such that, try as I may to fill it with other things, those things will always fall through. That's why people will try, they'll
look for different things, trying to fill the void, the gap that exists in their life. Notoriety, fame, success, other relationships. If those relationships and those things are not causing me to narrow the gap, then they're ultimately destined for failure. God help me. God help me. Those connections that I'm making are not connecting me to you. And they need to be severed because they are pulling me away. And they are broadening the gap. So let me cut the ties to the things that would seek to take me away. And let me strengthen the ties to the things that pull me closer to God and narrow the gap. Oh, we thank you that we've heard from you this morning. I don't say that with any type of pomp or pride. I know better than you the gap that is in Nathan Wells. But I want to do more to narrow it. I want to find those things that are going to draw me closer to God. Get rid of those things which seek to pull me away. Now, one time, can you lift your hands and lift your voice? Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your word, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Leads me to a closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, Lord. Let it be. Help me narrow the gap. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. If you could, we would certainly love for you to join us downstairs. Potato luncheon. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.